Where and when, here and now. Have you ever wondered why you were born, where you were born, what city, village, country you were born in, and when you were born? Why were you born now, in this generation, not 50 years, or I should say, a lot of us were born 50 years ago, not 500 years ago, not 3,000 years ago, not in the time of Abraham? Why were you born now and not in the future? I've thought about this a lot, especially when I was a kid, I started wondering about it. Why me? Why here? Why in Canada now? Why was I born here? I was born May 22nd, 1959 in Vancouver General Hospital, and I grew up in Burnaby and spent most of my time in Edmonton and Burlington, Ontario, with a lovely year in a little village called Waiuku on the North Island of New Zealand. And for almost all of my life, adult life, I've lived on the West Coast. Whistler, Pemberton, to Greater Vancouver, where I spent most of my time, and over a four-year period in Portland. But why here? Why now? Where I live now as an adult, I have some control over, depending on the laws and the countries and the places and economics. I can move about a bit. But I have no choice as to when I live. This is my allotted time. And I had no choice as to when and where I was born. That was predetermined. And these questions came to me as young. I remember waking up to understanding my circumstances, where I live and when I live, sometime between probably ages 6 and 10. I became aware that there are many different places and circumstances that people lived in that were not like mine. It was when I first became aware of war and poverty and hunger. And yet here I was living in plenty and in peace. Some of the things that brought that to my attention, my parents used to subscribe to American news magazines. We used to get Time and Newsweek. And I remember my parents hiding some of the magazines because they had pictures of graphic death scenes in the Vietnam War. Our school used to participate in something called Miles for Millions. Unless you're my age here in Canada, you probably wouldn't remember this. But in 1967, Oxfam Canada, which is a huge, large international relief and development agency, started raising funds by putting on large walks for charity, for hunger relief in the world, all across Canada. You were to walk 40 miles, 65 kilometers in a one-day period, and you'd sign up people to sponsor you how many cents or dimes or quarters per mile. And it was Oxfam's Canada major fundraiser. You'd go walking, and there'd be people at various places along the marked-out walk to check off. You walked 10 miles, you walked 16 kilometers. And so I started thinking, wow, there's people in the world who are really hungry and in poverty. You know, as an eight-year-old, I thought, well, why don't I just put my dinner in an envelope and mail it to hungry people? Because I was distressed that people didn't have what I have. Why was I born in Canada at the time I was born? That question raised in my mind. Why were you born in villages? In Burma or Thailand or Paraguay? Why were you born there? Or why were you born in big cities in Nigeria or Burundi or China? Why were you born in BC? In Richmond, Surrey, Vancouver? These are good questions to ask. Why were you born? Why and now? Why were nine children? Do you know that since January, nine children have been born to members of this congregation? In BC and one in California since the turn of the year. Why did God cause them and bring them to be born here and now? Well, Paul the Apostle addressed this very question when he was about why people are born and where and when they are born, when he was debating with the chatty philosophers in Athens, Greece. He was talking about God and challenging their way of thinking. And so he is invited to the Areopagus or Mars Hill, which actually was no longer a hill. It was sort of the Mars Hill Club or the Areopagus Club, where the philosophers and leading wise men and elders of the city gathered together to hear new philosophies and make decisions. And so they invited Paul to this place. Think downtown Vancouver, maybe the library square or the square right in front of the art gallery, to hear him out and his ideas. And of course, Paul's desire was to persuade these men, and they were men, members of this debating society, this leading society, and listeners, but he wanted to persuade them to follow Jesus, to come to God. And so he challenged their idea about God and life and life's purpose. He said, and I'm just going to go a little aside before I get to the right purpose. He said, there's only one God who made everything and everyone. And this was, of course, a challenge to their thinking that there are many gods. And this God is separate from his creation. He made creation, but he is not creation. The fact that God would be in creation and is part of creation, that's called pantheism. No, God made creation. It's separate from him. It is not God. And then this God, the creator God of everything, doesn't need, is not dependent on us for everything. He doesn't need our sacrifices, our worship. He doesn't need us to feed him. He's independent. As a matter of fact, we are dependent on the creator God for everything that we need for life and sustenance. And this God, the only God, the creator God, doesn't need us to know him, but he desires us to know him. That's a big thing. It's not this God who has to pull poor people in to feed him because he's hungry and he needs their sacrifice. No, this God loves people and wants them to have a relationship, a life-giving relationship. But he doesn't need it. He won't shrivel and die without it. And this God, and this was controversial for them, will raise the dead. There'll be a resurrection of all humanity at the end of time. And this was super controversial to this club because they're actually their founder, supposed founder, said that once a man dies and his blood goes into the dust, that's it. So Paul said, no. And a matter of fact, he said, there is one man already who's been raised from the dead. And this one man, Jesus Christ, is the judge and will be the judge of all people. All people will be accountable to him at the end of time. Now, this is the context. So he's laid out this whole map in a few short sentences of God and really the essence of Christianity, that God's son came as a human and was raised from the dead. This is the context of where he answers the question, why were you born, when and where that you were born? So if you want to open your Bible apps or your Bible to Acts chapter 17, verse 23 and 28, and you'll see in a brilliant fashion how in a couple of short sentences, Paul answers these questions. And this is what he says. As I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. This God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I'm telling you about. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord of heaven and the earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples. And human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. As an aside, see the first sentence there? From one man, he created all the nations throughout all the earth. These Greeks in Athens, like so many of us, viewed themselves as superior to others. Matter of fact, their words for others were barbarians. There were Greeks and there were barbarians. And barbarians just means those who don't speak Greek, they're not really civilized. And they considered themselves racially superior, ethnically superior, whatever you want to call it. Their group was better than others. And Paul simply puts the lie to that. He says, we all descend from one man, essentially one couple. All of us are on the same ground. He determined beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. Many of you probably know this from other translations. In him we live and move and have our being. So 2 points to answer the question. Why were you born? Where and when? When and where you were born? Well, first this. It was God's choice where you came into existence. And second, you were born here and now in this generation for an excellent purpose. And we'll unpack that in just a few moments. So let's think about this. First, why you were born, where you were born, and when you were born was God's choice. And not another time, place. So don't worry that you're some sort of accident. You were born when and where you're born by God's choice. God saw you and knew you and me before the creation of the world. Acts 17:26. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. So that's the when question. The nations, which include you. And that's the where question, the boundaries of those nations. God determined beforehand, long ago. We don't know if God understands or sees time in any way like we do. But before creation began, he decided when and where you would be born, when and where I would be born. Your existence is not a fluke or a mistake or an accident. You were born in the exact time and place God has chosen for you. This helps me because I was often unable to make sense of my childhood and the privilege I thought I had. My life was so much easier for me than these other nations and people I read about. And I felt guilty and ashamed and often really bad about that. The circumstance of my birth was that way because God chose it. I was not born in Canada, the land of peace and plenty, because of any virtue on my part or any superiority of my parents. No. I was born in this land of peace and plenty simply because God in his wisdom said, Frank, you will be born in Vancouver, May 22nd, 1959. He determined when. And again, not because I was superior or better than. It was God's choice. Nor were people who were born in more difficult circumstances, whether born in a refugee camp or a country at war or in hunger or poverty. They weren't born that way because God considered them lesser or inferior. It was God's choice. Kind of a difficult thing to think about. But God deliberately chose and oversaw the circumstances that each of us came into the world, whether they be difficult or easy. They were unique for you and me. And for a good purpose. For an eternal purpose. As a side note, if you have been born into plenty, like I have, and like so many of us have, now being born here in Canada, that means people who even came as refugees, your children who are being born here, if you've been born into plenty, the Holy Spirit's call for you is to be generous. If you're in plenty, you're to be generous. Jesus, King of the universe, born as a human being into Mary and Joseph's family, was the most generous human who ever lived. And he calls us to live in the same way. To those who have been given much, much is expected, and we have the delight of giving. So, you are born when and where? By God's sovereign choice. Uniquely crafted for you. And here's why. Second, you were born here now for an excellent purpose. Your exact circumstances came to pass so that you might seek and find God, and that he might reveal himself to you in Jesus Christ alone. Your circumstances were built in such a way so that you would have a hunger for God and that he could lead you to himself. Your circumstances were created that you might find God and that you might repent and believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and thus have eternal life in his love and affection for you. And this eternal life, the circumstances of eternal life with God, so outweigh any of our previous circumstances, be they easy or difficult, will disappear like mists in time in the light of the beauty of the life that he has for those he's called to himself. This is how we hear the purpose. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel the way toward him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. Perhaps feel their way toward him. That's the goal. Though you recognize that you're blind or that you're in a dark room and you're looking for the light switch or the way out, and that you're feeling for it. The word almost is groping. You're looking to find your way out. And that's what your circumstances lead you to do. You want more. You hunger for more. You hunger for the purpose of your life. Whether you're born wealthy or whether you're born into poverty, those circumstances are uniquely crafted for each of us to awaken that God-given hunger for his life. And so in that darkness, the Holy Spirit guides us and actually sends others who found the light switch to guide us to the truth in Jesus. And God has chosen those guides for you. I know for many of my Karen brothers and sisters, Mr. Thane introduced me to the history. And one of the things God did is he put a hunger in Karen people and a belief that a white person would come with a book and it would lead them to the truth. And so missionary Adoniram Judson and others brought the truth into the Karen family of nations to come and seek and find him. And for many of us, it's been our family has passed down the truth, or friends. But those guides could be anything. They could be a spare Bible you stumble upon, or a podcast or a YouTube video. But God has chosen your unique circumstances and time so that you would seek him, and then he sent guides in your life. I think perhaps the clearest sample we ever have of this in the Bible comes in the Old Testament, and it's the story of a young woman named Ruth and her mother-in-law named Naomi. Ruth is actually the great-great-great, on and on and on, centuries, grandmother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the circumstances that led her to faith in God were actually famine, death of husband and father-in-law and brother-in-law, and refugee status. And these difficult circumstances led her to embrace the faith of her mother-in-law, Naomi, to embrace the life that Yahweh alone offered her. So where and when she was born and lived, those difficult circumstances led her to hunger for and be led to the eternal life in Jesus Christ, her great-great-great-great-great-grandson, and the eternal life she now lives in his presence. Your unique circumstances, brothers and sisters, no matter how difficult, were and are overseen by God, your Father and mine, so that your hunger for him might be developed and that you might find the meaning and purpose of human existence, to have a love relationship with God through repentance of sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that his Spirit may come into you and fully awaken you to the glory for which you were created. And this is why God chose the specific time and place of your birth so that you may come to know his life. God bless you. spread this message to as many who will listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Hope you had a great week. I had a great week of VBS with the kids and the leaders and the volunteers. How was your week of VBS, Reiko?
Good, Dad.
Yeah, what was the best part?
Bible story and games.
Yeah? And what did you learn this week?
To focus on Jesus.
That's right. Good job, man. All right, so this week's benediction, we leave you with verse from Numbers 6. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
You have now been benedicted.
That's right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.